there's a train to come. Don't need no baggage, you just get on board. Now all you need is faith to hear the diesels hum.
Welcome to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhai, a broadcast ministry of New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. New Hope Church is dedicated to bringing you sound biblical teaching, the truth of God's Word. So get ready for your New Hope for Today.
I'm going to read today from the Epistle of James. Chapter 5, we're going to read verses 13 through 16. Hear now then the word of God. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous man is powerful and effective. Thus says the word of God. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Spirit, we do ask your presence here to fill us with wisdom and knowledge, to understand your perfect word in our heart, mind, and souls, that in our strength we may walk more like Jesus Christ. In Jesus' powerful name we pray. And all of God's children said. Amen. When we were at First Presbyterian Church years ago, there was a faith healer that came every Sunday evening. It was the kind of thing where people came up in their crutches and their wheelchairs and who couldn't see right and who was deaf, and where they would come and ask for the preacher to lay his hands on them and they would be healed. And the verse that we have read in James comes from that idea. And I'm not questioning their faith, don't get me wrong. I'm just maybe questioning the doctrine of it. There's another interesting story that Tom told me today. When we think about this idea of healing, and we think about the idea of prayer associated with it, we've had a person on our prayer list named Rich for a long time whose friend was Phil from our congregation. And we've been praying for him. Well, Phil comes up to Tom Bennett and he says, "You can take Rich off your prayer list." Tom said, "Yeah, I was wondering." He said, "I looked in the paper in the sports page. It showed that Rich got a hole in one." So I guess it was good that we prayed for him because he got a hole in one. Was our prayers powerful and effective for him to get a hole in one? You can kind of use the idea of prayer for silly means and ways that aren't necessarily in the will of God. And who knows, maybe getting a hole in one is in the will of God, but I kind of don't think so. I've been praying and really suffering under the onslaught of problems that have just attacked this congregation. You know, the problems that you all individually have. As a pastor, I can look out here and see almost every one of you who has something going on in their life that is really tough. And I don't know that we're any different really from any other church, big or small. There's problems associated with each church. But the body itself needs to be restored to health. If we are suffering and if we are under spiritual attack, we need to gather together in unity and to comfort, encourage, love, and pray for one another. We gather together for healing and to recommit our lives to Christ today. And this evening, we're going to have a healing service. And I would, at 6 o'clock, I would encourage any and all of you to please come to it. If you have time, we're going to go in the chapel. And it's going to be, won't be that long, of course, who knows. But I'm not putting a time limit on it. But we're going to have a healing service at 6 o'clock. And I would ask you to bring everything that you have to it. Internally, externally, that you want to just lay in front of God. The secret of God's solution to healing is not necessarily in the laying on of hands. It's not in the anointing of oil at all, but prayer. Prayer. Humble, joyful, relational, faithful, intercessional, confessional, powerful, and effective prayer. When we think of what prayer is, it's an activity that Jesus taught. It's an activity that Jesus demonstrated. It's a word that we Christians can often misunderstand and take for granted. The New Testament word for prayer means to prostrate or bow. You know, you're in a humble position, in other words. To rejoice, to give thanksgiving, asking, crying out. Done in humbleness to God. Understanding who He is. You know, Jesus gives us the outline of prayer. What's the first thing He says? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You're coming in front of a holy God when you come to him in prayer. Prayer then is this holy time, this set apart time that Christians engage God with reverence and honor, praise, thanksgiving, asking, crying out, interceding, rejoicing for God's work in our lives. It is a serious business. Praying is not a simple conversation with God. It's a holy conversation. You're speaking to the Creator of the universe, and because you are a Christian, because you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have accessibility to the throne room of God. You can come in front of your Holy Father and speak to Him. The Creator of all things, Almighty God. And it's not a monologue where you speak a laundry list of things or requests to God and leave it at that. It's a dialogue of conversation with your Heavenly Father in which you then must discipline yourself to hear Him speak to you in your being, in your heart, mind, and soul. The life and fruit of a Christian, beloved, is built upon intimate contact with the Creator of the universe. Without it, there is no relationship with God. Without holy, authentic, genuine prayer, there's no relationship with God. James speaks of this in the verses that we read. And he starts out in verse 13. He says, is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. So in verse 13, this person who is suffering, this idea, if any of you is in trouble, if any of you, another word could be used for it, is suffering, if any of you have a misfortune in life that you are experiencing internally. In other words, the inner experience of having to endure misfortune. The point that James is trying to make here in this verse is that the Christian should not strike out, should not complain about this type of trouble, suffering, or misfortune. And we shouldn't even really bear with it with like a quiet resignation, but rather we should pray. We should cry out to God and we should trust Him. God is the one then who can be trusted in the dark of our lives. Amen? And he goes to the other extreme. If you're happy, if you're cheerful, if you're in good spirit, then let him sing songs of praise. Being joyful or of good courage, even if the external situation looks poor, one should always never forget God. And sometimes I believe when you are having suffering and troubles, it's kind of easier to pray to God versus when you're having success. And sometimes when we're having success, we're prideful and we think it comes from ourselves and we begin to neglect praying to God for that success, for that joy, for that cheerfulness that He's brought into our lives. And we should never neglect that. James then, in this simple verse, wants us to remember God then in all situations, from suffering to cheerfulness. That we should always be thinking of God, that our life should be pointed to Him, that our eyes should be focused heavenward. Turning to God in need is half the truth. Turning to Him in praise, praising God. And when one is cheerful, then that's the other half. It's life, the good and the bad. And in between the good and the bad, we lift it all up to God. And we got to remember, God is not simply some kind of an errand boy to help human need. But He's one who deserves worship and praise because He is a holy God. You see, there's a depth to prayer that we have to embrace. And when you embrace that depth of prayer, you know, coming to church here for an hour on Sunday isn't the ticket. We are called to do that because we are called to assemble as God's people. However, it needs to encourage and be part and parcel of all of your life, and that is prayer. That is being in communion and in contact with God. Prayer is also relational to God and others. It's of a relationship. He says in verse 14, "Is any of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord." And this is somewhat a contrast with suffering and being in trouble, which, you know, it internally you're taking on and you're worried about and that sort of thing. This is physical. And this is a person bedridden, perhaps, that they're ill, too ill to go to the church, so they need to call the elders of the church to come. And way back when James wrote his letter, that office of the elder was already established in churches. And it's kind of it's a general call then. It's saying that whether one or many or all of the elders is to respond isn't really mentioned, although it is a plural verb. So it means more than one. Probably the expectation is several elders to come in a situation like that. And so I want you to understand this particular verse, because this kind of means the actions of the elders indicates their specific Christian function. That the elders have a function. That they pray over the person, laying on hands, anointing with oil. And the anointing is really an outward sign of the inward power of prayer. The emphasis is not on the anointing. It's not the oil that does anything. It's simply an outward sign. Oftentimes meant to be the presence of the Holy Spirit, a sign of the presence of the Holy Spirit. But primarily, the verse is about prayer. that as we are having this relationship with Holy God in prayer, we are interceding for the person. It's not a magical rite. It's not an exorcism, but it's opening to the power of God. We're looking for God to intervene in a situation like that. He goes on to say then, if this power of prayer is relational to God and relational to the person because you're there with them, you're laying on hands, you're praying to God, there's this relationship. The prayer is intercessional to God because you're praying for the person. It's intercessional to God in faith for others. Verse 15 says, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. The verse simply means that the prayer of faith will save the sick. And the term prayer, if you think of it, sums up the whole action of verse 14, keeping the stress of the verse on prayer. And so this prayer in faith is this prayer that expresses trust in God and flows out of commitment to God. It's real. It doesn't question. The faith isn't that of the person being prayed for. The faith that they're talking about is of the person praying. The elders. Not of the sick person. And the promised result, and you can't really interpret this much any other way, is that the power of prayer will heal. That the power of God will physically raise this person up. If you remember the story of Jesus in Mark chapter 2, I believe, where the paralyzed man is brought to him. And Jesus does a curious thing, doesn't he? If you remember this story, what's he do? The paralyzed man is brought to him, and Jesus says, he doesn't say, hey, let me heal you and lay my hands on you and you're going to be good. He says, your sins are forgiven. See, there's an effect of prayer that goes beyond the physical malady that people have. It's the healing of the heart. It's the health and well-being of the heart that's the most important thing. That is what is going to give any invalid or any person suffering eternal life with God forever. Is that not the most important thing? I'm not saying that these mystical healings and miraculous healings that come from God don't exist, but we all know that we can't rely on that. If you think about it, if we could rely that every time, that if we were the most faithful person on the face of the earth and we knew that when we came across somebody who had an illness or a malady and we laid hands on them and by the miracle of God, they were healed. And probably from the apostles on, you would have a lot of people that would be about 2,000 years old now. Right? Because as people are suffering, and as people are near death, and as people are having illnesses, it's simple. We'll just pray over them and they'll be fine. Now, does that happen all the time? No, it doesn't. Because there is a greater will of God that exercises His control over all things, who knows what is best for us even in the midst of miserable circumstances. That oftentimes we can't see how it's going to all play out. Many times we can later on. Lastly, in verse 16, James says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. In every single one of these verses, the word prayer and pray is used. That's where the focus of attention is. Prayer is relationally confessional. It is cathartic, not only for you to confess your sins to God, but to confess your sins to those that you've harmed, to those that you have sinned against. And not just do it out of the words of your mouth, but in a sense of asking for forgiveness. Genuine, in other words. Christians are then to confess their sins to one another in that respect. There's an open, public acknowledgement of guilt, usually in the church. I got to tell you a story back at the Hickory Church. So they have session meeting notes from way back. And there's one from in and around the 1890s where one of the congregation was caught coming out of a bar. And he was asked on the coming Sunday to come in front of the congregation and confess his sin of being in the bar. And they had that written in the notes. Could you imagine doing that today? Maybe we should. I don't know. Because the confession purifies the community from sin. The confession is this forgiveness that brings healing. And it's most important to do it to those you harm. And if you bring harm to the church, you ought to do it as well too. And once again, just like as we confess our sins to God, isn't it cathartic? It does help you, doesn't it? Because we trust that He picks us up and He sets our feet on solid ground and we're able again to walk that path that He's created for us. There's a catharsis in it. It helps us. It heals us. Day by day. In prayer, God is the active agent. Prayer is strong, not the prayer itself, but God's response to it. God hears prayer. And thus the Christian with a clear conscience should pray boldly because his prayer is powerful, her prayer is powerful and effective. That when we come in genuine prayer in communion with God, our prayers are powerful and effective. In all of the troubles that we have incurred here individually and in the church, it's prayer that will lead us out. It's praying to God genuinely with pure hearts and clean hands, lifting up all that we have, clothed in the righteousness of Christ, in the presence of a holy God, in the throne room of God, where we see His holiness and we talk to Him as our Father in heaven. And yet, as Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Your will be done." His good and perfect will. Prayer then is this holy, set-apart time that we Christians ought to engage God with reverence, in honor, praise, thanksgiving, asking, crying out, interceding, rejoicing for God's work in our lives. Knowing that the secret of God's solution to healing is not in the anointing, is not in the laying on of hands, but it's of prayer. Humble, joyful, relational, faithful, intercessional, confessional, powerful, and effective prayer. Amen.
Thank you for listening to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhai and New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church home, please come and visit this Sunday at 11 a.m. For more, check out newhopechurcheco.org or call 724-222-7490. If you've been encouraged by today's message, please prayerfully consider becoming a financial partner at newhopechurcheco.org. Your one-time tax-deductible gift or regular monthly support is greatly appreciated and will help keep this program on the air, bringing new hope to the Pittsburgh region. Love God, love others. That's what New Hope Church is all about. New hope, new life, new family, new mission, all in Jesus Christ. Be sure to tune in next week for more New Hope for Today. Until then, may God bless you.